This broadcast is Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss any of your firearms-related needs or interests with you and help you pick out a gun, get a training class, whatever you need. If you'd like to get on the show today, please give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll get you in the queue and get you up on the screen as quick as we can. I want to start off today's show by just mentioning that if you've been paying attention to the news this past week and watching the blogs, you'll see that a lot of the legislation that had a whole bunch of people concerned over the last month is kind of falling to the wayside. At the federal level, the Congress has already indicated that it doesn't look like a whole lot's going to move forward. The only thing that has any momentum at this point, just by way of the conversations that are taking place, are the quote universal unquote background checks. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because today's edition of the Dayton Daily News indicates that a poll taken by a Quinnipiac University indicated that there's overwhelming support for universal background checks. And that seems to imply that means something. And I just want to let you know that until they shore up the system that makes sure that the mental health information is more readily available in the background checks, it isn't going to do a whole lot of good, because as we've reported so often on this radio show and as people who have been around the industry for a long time know, that the law-abiding people do things in the right way. They buy guns, they go through background checks, and when they sell guns, they take reasonable measures to make sure the people they're selling guns to are qualified to have guns. And I just want to give an example. Today, as I mentioned in the edition of the Dayton Daily News, they're advocating universal background checks, and they're seeming to indicate that that's going to have some impact. But in the same newspaper today, there's two incidents I'd want to mention. There was one incident that you probably heard about where a Dayton police officer had to shoot a 17-year-old suspect who was a passenger in a stolen vehicle. And when the 17-year-old exited the vehicle, according to reports, he had the gun in his hand. He refused to put it down. The officer shot him. That's incident number one. And incident number two, there was a case in Georgia where two teenagers, one 17 and one 14, accosted and robbed tried to rob a female, and when she didn't give them any money, which she said she didn't have, believe it or not, they went and killed her baby. Now you have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old who should not have firearms in that case, and you have a 17-year-old in the other case who should not have firearms, and universal background checks would not have caught either one of those because they somehow came into contact with those guns illegally, whether they stole them, obtained them from a law-abiding citizen who was careless in the way they stored them, whatever the case might be. But if you look at the majority of criminal acts, universal background checks are not going to have a whole lot of good or do a whole lot of good anyway. And as I mentioned early on, until they start getting the real issues, the mental health issues, well-known and distributed, and I don't know how they're going to do that. That is a very daunting task. I must tell you that because of privacy issues and other matters, it's extremely difficult to get that kind of information and made available on a national basis. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But until they do that, pushing for universal background checks for the law-abiding people isn't going to do a whole lot of good. And what they're talking about there is right now there's gun shows going on down at in Wilmington at the Ohio Gun Collectors weekly meeting, and then the Hare Arena has a gun show going on. So just as an example, you go to those places. If you buy a gun from a dealer, you have to submit to a background check. If you buy a gun from a private individual who is not a dealer, you do not have to submit to the background check. In that particular case, people are required to take reasonable steps. And there's no doubt in my mind there are occasions, and it's been well documented, where people have acquired firearms through private purchases without having to go through the background check system. And that certainly is something that they can look at, as opposed to just universal across the board, making it mandatory for everybody in every circumstance that they'd have to do that. If two individuals, let's say if I was, I won't use myself as an example because I have a federal firearms license, so I'm governed by their rules, but if any two of my listeners out there, law-abiding citizens that are lawfully in possession of firearms, decide to buy or trade a gun back and forth, They should be able to do so as long as they take reasonable steps to make sure that the person receiving the gun is qualified to have the gun. And there's no need for universal background checks because law-abiding citizens obey the law. And there's a presumption by the people who think that universal background checks are going to have a make a big difference that is going to be a factor that will assist in making things a little bit better. But I'm here to tell you, again, if you just look at today's newspaper, those two incidents that I reported on, neither of those incidents would have been affected in any way, shape, or form by the implementation of universal background checks because the individuals involved in those crimes obtained those firearms illegally. So, you know, that's an issue. And I'd like to hear from you. And if you want to get on the show today, I want to encourage you to give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. And we're going to go right out the phones. I have a call from Cliff in Miamisburg, and we'll see what Cliff has to say. Hey, Cliff, you there? You with us? Well, apparently I'm experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty. I'll be able to get him here in a minute. But I want to hear what you have to say because it's an issue that that we have to deal with. We just have to figure out a way that we're going to be able to come to grips with what is going to be acceptable as far as reform goes and acceptable from all particular angles. We got him on the line now? Cliff, are you there? We're still.
Oh, come on.
Oh, okay. Now I got you, Cliff. Here we go.
All right. Hello,
all
sir.
All right. I got you. Go ahead. I'm sorry for that.
Well, I'm not trying to take you off topic or anything because it's very important because we all know that the criminals will always find a way to obtain guns.
Okay, go ahead with your comment.
My question is two-part. One, about being...
And I just lost him when he picked up that line. I apologize for that. Well, hopefully he will call back. Again, just technical difficulties, partly due to the fact that I'm here in the studio alone today and my tech assistant, Mark Avery, who's the whiz at this, isn't here, but... we just lost Cliff, but I hope he calls back and we'll get his comment as soon as we can. He's going to obviously talk about an unrelated issue, but I want to encourage our listeners, whatever you're concerned about, go ahead and call in today and we'll be sure to get you on the air and see if we can talk with you. Cliff, do we got you again?
I hope so.
Okay, there you are. Now we got you.
I'm terribly sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead with your comment.
My question is going to the state of Missouri. I am permitted to carry in Ohio.
Okay. And I think as soon as he picked up that phone, I lost you again, Cliff. All right. Reference to that issue, and I don't know exactly where Cliff's going with that, and I apologize for the technical difficulty, Cliff. Our tech is trying to work on that right now. But if your question is if you're going to be able to carry in Missouri, you have to determine if Missouri is one of the states with reciprocity. And I don't have my little... If you have reciprocity, you're going to be okay. If we don't have reciprocity, then you're going to have to look at their specific rules to determine whether or not they will accept individuals from other states allow them to carry. I know I'm fairly certain they do. I just don't have the form in front of me because, again, I usually rely on Mark to take care of that, and I didn't have my booklet with me. But I know that as we're going westward, one of the biggest problems is making sure that Illinois is the potentially problem state, which last week we reported there's been some very positive legislation that's been moving forward there, whereby they're currently looking at allowing their citizens to utilize or exercise their Second Amendment right and protect themselves. Now, they've got some stipulations in Illinois. For example, you have to have a firearms owner identification card. They call that a FOID card. But for the most part, there's no specific legislation that's passed yet, but they're moving in a positive direction because traditionally Illinois has been very prohibitive in the way they've let people carry guns, especially in the city of Chicago. But there's, you know, the McDonald decision and several other major decisions originated in this decision from, I believe it was an appellate court in Illinois, upholding the right of individuals to carry guns in defense of themselves or others is very telling, and I think it's moving in the right direction. We're just going to have to see how that plays out. But let's go out to the phones and see if we can talk with Art. Art in Dayton has a question about background checks. Art, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, sir. Go ahead with your comment.
All right. I don't think it was so much a question. It was more of a comment. As far as universal background check goes, it's nothing more than a veiled attempt at an assault on the Second Amendment. As you pointed out earlier, there are are many, many things that this universal background check is not going to cover. The murder of that baby and a robbery attempt is a perfect example of it. All this is going to do is allow the people who finally decide that for our good, that all guns must go away, it will give them a list of names, addresses, telephone numbers, and the type of armaments that these people have.
That's a good point. And again, that's really about the only thing it can accomplish for what I've said, and you kind of reiterated earlier. It would not have stopped either of the crimes that I referenced earlier. And it's just a what's happening right now is the arguments that were fueled by the emotion following the Newtown incident are starting to wane. There's no question the tragedy there is as tragic today as it was then. The bottom line was the emotional response, which got a lot of attention because it seemed like the, quote, right thing to do, unquote, turns out that it doesn't have a whole lot of basis. It doesn't have a whole lot of validity in limiting or minimizing those sorts of incidents. And each argument, everything from assault weapons to magazine capacity to background checks, they're losing ground. So they're taking desperate steps now, Art, and they're just looking at a way that they can do something, mainly because so that they can say they did something, because they don't really care if it has any impact on crime. I really believe that, because if they did, they'd have spent way more time studying what their recommendations were going to be before they spouted them out within a week of the incident, claiming that that was going to solve the problem. They obviously didn't do their research. They don't rely on factual data. They rely on emotion. They rely a lot on rhetoric. And as a result, their arguments are waning. They're losing in the legislature. And they're, you know, these are kind of last-ditch efforts. I think you feel the same way about that issue.
Actually, I disagree on that, sir. I believe they know exactly what they're doing. They just know that logic and research will not support their position. Their position is, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but their position is to attack the Second Amendment and get rid of it. It stands in their way for whatever nefarious reasons they may have, for supposedly our good or for their own benefit. The bottom line is they're assaulting the Second Amendment, and they have to try to use these emotional arguments to try to get it. Notice how they always like to turn around and say that these gun control measures are for the children.
Yeah, right. Right. Gun control measures, we know, are person control measures. They're not gun control measures. And ironically, I look across the studio and I see Mayor Bloomberg, they're talking about his next crusade. He's been one of the big people that's promoted these sorts of situations. And I can't disagree with you. I just have no factual basis to back what you're saying. When you say if the main premise of your argument is that they have a greater agenda, that they're going to limit the Second Amendment and try to take our guns from us, I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility. I'm going to certainly tell you, and even as a law enforcement officer, it concerns me how they would go about doing that, because as you saw some of the fight back from the sheriffs in Colorado, which I'll talk about right after the break, which we need to go to. But I'll talk to you a little bit about that. And we come back after the break, I'll continue. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM, 1290 AM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. And right before the break, Art was... Art had called in and he mentioned that he feels that there's more motivation behind some of the people who are proposing an attack on the Second Amendment. And again, I can't cite specifically instances, but I do share some of his concerns. And one of the big issues that I think is involved here is just like Governor Cuomo has kind of backed off some of his provisions that he had knee-jerk reactions to right after Newtown. Out in Colorado, where they've began to, I think they've passed the legislation, but I'm not sure that it's become law yet. But the sheriffs out there said it's virtually impossible to enforce, and they're kind of banding together and saying there's not much we can do to enforce laws against law-abiding people. And it's going to create some interesting issues over the next several months just to see how that kind of thing plays out. But it concerns me. As Art mentioned, if they would in fact try to establish a central registry and move to ultimately confiscate firearms, it's going to be extremely difficult to do such a thing. So I don't want to go down that road right now, because I think we're far away from that kind of a situation. But suffice is to say that over the last week or so, we've seen some pretty favorable decisions whereby The members of Congress are saying that we can't go far with the legislation that's been proposed because it's unenforceable, it's unrealistic, and except for currently the discussion about the universal background checks, there's not a whole lot they're going to be able to do, and we're glad for that. And I want to encourage you, Steve, if you would, you're on the line, I'm sure, stay with us through this next break, and we're going to go ahead and get right on with additional callers. We have to take another break to pay some bills, and when we get back, we'll go right out to the phones. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and 1290 AM News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show, and just update our listeners at the top of the hour. We talked about how legislation at the federal level seems to be failing in several fronts, and that the only thing that has any momentum at all is the discussion about universal background checks. And I mentioned that two of the incidents reported in today's Dayton Daily News involving a Dayton officer who had to shoot a 17-year-old who refused to drop a gun after he got out of a car that was stolen, and then another incident in Georgia where 14 and 17-year-old juveniles robbed a female, and when she didn't give them money that they demanded, they ended up shooting and killing her child. Neither of those instances would have been avoided due to universal background checks. And I want to mention the third incident that I just overlooked was the case out in Colorado where the prison warden or the head of the Department of Corrections in Colorado was gunned down at his residence last week. They apparently have located a suspect who was a parolee, believe it or not, from the Department of Department of Corrections in Colorado, and he again would have been not legally authorized to possess a firearm. He somehow obtained it illegally, whether he stole it or got it from somebody else. The universal background check would not have caught him either. So there's three instances where the universal background checks are going to have little impact on crime. And in order for the universal background check concept to even have any mention or to be viable, they're going to have to do things to help people with mental imbalances get that information reported and somehow recorded. And it's a like I said earlier, it's a very daunting task, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. But anyway, that was kind of a recap of what we discussed in the first half of the show. And I want to go out on the phones now. We're going to go out to Steve in Clayton. He's been holding for a while. Steve, are you with us?
Yeah, I sure am.
Go ahead with your comments, sir.
Okay. Just want to let you know, I'm sitting up here at Hair Ring at the gun show. It's a beautiful day. I am a conservative. I do as if there is some way to identify people with schizophrenia, borderline personality disorder, and stop them completely from obtaining firearms. Anyone that's ever been hospitalized for any type of psychiatric disorder really needs to be watched. And what Art said about what they're pushing for, I believe that what they're pushing for is they're trying to see how far they can push us to push socialism and collectivism into America. With everything that the TSA does, I just read a report a couple of days ago that they had a war vet coming back from serving duty that had both his legs amputated, that TSA made him get out of his wheelchair and walk through the metal detector on his stubs. Right. America is coming. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, there's two issues there, and I want to address the first one. And thank you for your call, Steve. The first issue is this concept of the mental health background. And as I mentioned, it's going to be extremely difficult to do that. I agree that the system needs to include that data, but it is such a difficult proposition given individual privacy rights. There's going to have to be some real hard discussion, and it's going to have to go beyond discussion. We've discussed that issue enough. They're going to have to just say that where people pose a danger to themselves or others, that information needs to be released to a centralized database so that it can be retrieved later on. Because if you look at the background of some of those things that are individuals that are involved in recent incidents, those are the issues that come to the fore. Those are the most significant issues. So I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's going to be a tough task. But I agree with you that there needs to be some movement in that direction. Secondly, reference to your assertion that the agenda is to move towards socialism. There certainly is a hint of that. I can't disagree with you. They don't like the world the way it is in the United States right now, and they're trying to move on a number of fronts, whether it's the financial situation, economic situation, healthcare, nationalized healthcare, whatever the case is. There's certainly a movement in that direction. But I want to try to confine our discussion here to the issues. And Steve, you're exactly right. And again, I thank you for your call. And I want our listeners out there to know that you know, we can make our own inferences from the situations as they come about. But the bottom line is, in reference to gun control, that's a people control issue. They're coming at us in a number of different fronts because they're failing on other fronts. So I want to go out to the phones and talk to Leon. Leon in Clayton, are you with us, Leon?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your comments, sir.
Well, it's a nice day. I'm sitting here in the Lazy Boy looking out through the patio door. Got a stack of gun magazines and listening to your program. Last night, I watched Michael Moore on MSNBC, and he exhibited the typical arrogant, condescending attitude. What's wrong with us? What are we afraid of? And it's like the mads and the sads. These people will never go away. This is their cause. And between Sarah Brady and between the Long Island Railroad shooting and Sarah Brady, after every incident, there's a new tax-exempt educational foundation group started. And they are not going to give us up.
Oh, they're not. As a matter of fact, just this last week, several organizations band together, and they're going to start what they call a ground campaign to push gun control to the next level. They are not going to give it up. We just need to continue the fight. The good thing is that we've got sound basis for the stance we take. They have emotion only, and when the emotion wanes, they have to regroup and try another agenda. So you're exactly right. All they're going to do is they're going to retreat, hide for a while, and then they're going to come back with a different different rhetoric. They're just going to direct their focus down a different path until they get what they want. And we got to hold steadfast. And I think right now it's important to mention, NRA has record numbers of members joining and making contributions. And I want to encourage our listeners, if you're not a member, you need to. You need to be. You not only need to join the NRA, but the affiliate organizations that are working for our cause, because for a long time in this country, from about the late 60s, early 70s into around the year 2000, we kind of took things for granted, and we took some hits. We took some hits, and we don't need to do that anymore. So I want to encourage you to get involved. Make sure you contact your representatives and join the NRA. And Leon, you mentioned some very good points, and thanks for calling. I want to go out and talk to John in Spencerville. John, are you with us?
Yes.
Go ahead with your comment.
I'd encourage people that's in the NRA that listens, sign up a buddy. I'm sure you know someone that should be in the NRA, and it's cheap right now. My question is, when I purchase a firearm and you would call in to a central place, say, to find out if I'm qualified to buy that, if, you know, any kind of a record.
Yes, sir.
Where does that information go?
It doesn't go anywhere. It stays in my file. The information is conveyed to the operator at the NIC system. I have to give the various information, including your name, your address, your date of birth, and that sort of thing. They then run a check to make sure you are not allowed to, or you're not prohibited from owning a firearm, and that's the extent of it. Then they generate a number, and then I keep the information in my book at my local shop. And the only way that they can access that is if they're investigating the theft of a gun or the gun being used in a criminal act. And in the 9 years I've been involved, that's only happened one time.
Would they have any kind of a permanent record on a computer or something that you have called in and wondered about my background?
Well, let me just tell you, and again, I used to have concerns, but the information we get from the people in the know is that there is no permanent record generated as a result of that inquiry. Now, could there be? I agree with you. I'm a little bit skeptical because I don't trust a lot of things they do. But the way the law is written and the way the protocol is utilized, there is no record generated. The only record is at the local shop where the check is made, period. And the only time it can be accessed is under very strict circumstances where the gun was used in a crime or the gun was stolen.
I've been interested in this I bought my first rifle when I was 9, and that was back in, about 59.
Mm-hmm.
But since they've had this, I haven't bought one at a shop.
Sure.
And I'm interested in going up to Camp Perry to purchase a rifle up there, and I'm qualified for everything that they would need.
Right.
But I'm just apprehensive about plugging my name in on that.
I want to encourage you to go get one because they had, at least as of the last few years, they've had ample supply, and they have some wonderful firearms, and that's a classic. I would encourage you to go ahead and do that and not worry about where that information is being stored.
Now, what about the universal background check that they're pushing on?
Well, they're pushing, but they're not making any headway. As I mentioned earlier, they're pushing, but there's been no movement. That's the only thing they're hanging their hat on. But realize the universal background check doesn't apply to you and me, the law-abiding citizen, because we're going to do it anyway.
Right.
We're going to go do it, yep. And everything's going to be fine. And guess what? It doesn't apply to the criminal because he doesn't bother to go through the process. That's what's faulty with their rationale. They forget that criminals, by definition, don't obey the law, so they're not going to go to places where they're going to be subjected to criminal background checks. They're going to try to acquire guns illegally through other means.
Yep.
And it's only going to affect you and I, but they refuse to follow the logical rationale, and they just continue to spout rhetoric. That's why they're losing speed. That's why all the arguments are losing speed in Congress, and it's likely that nothing will be generated during this session.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call. Thank you very much for your call, John.
Bye.
I want to just let our listeners know that, again, the universal background checks are only going to be applicable to we, the law-abiding citizens. They're not going to have any impact on crime. Just follow things as they go through the legislature here through Congress over the next little bit of time, and we'll keep reporting when we hear anything, and we'll let you know if there's an update. But we come back to the break, we'll go back out to the phone lines. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and 1290 AM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, back to the show. Again, before the break, the caller mentioned that one of the best things we can do right now is join the NRA, and I want to let you know an easy way to do that is visit our website at sim-trainer.com. That's sim-trainer.com, and down at the bottom of the homepage, you will have a link to the NRA, and you can join the NRA in a very a simplified manner. It's just a matter of a few keystrokes and putting your credit card information in. You get a $10 discount for doing it there, and I encourage you to take advantage of that because they are really our voice. I mentioned last week, and you've probably heard several times on the media, they are the largest lobbying organization in the country, and obviously the anti-gunners despise their efforts because they put a lot of time, effort, and money behind their arguments. They make very easy to back arguments because they go out and gather hard data, and they've been responsible for a lot of the counter arguments that have been presented in arguments before Congress and the various committees that have been set up to try to restrict your Second Amendment rights. Earlier in the show, we had a caller who was concerned about reciprocity with Missouri, and we didn't get a chance to listen to all the concerns, and I apologize for that due to technical problems, but I looked up on the Attorney General's website, which is a great source of information. If you just go to www.ohioattorneygeneral.gov, there's a wealth of information, including a listing of the states that have reciprocity with Ohio, and Missouri is one of those states. And just keep in mind that you have to make sure that you are carrying in compliance with the provision of that reciprocity state when you are, in fact, carrying a firearm if you're going interstate. Also, I want to mention, and we talked about this a lot last week, anybody that's going to buy a new gun, I want to encourage you to give us a call at Sim Trainer. A couple of reasons. Number one, there's a frenzied buying mindset out there right now. People are just going out and buying guns, and many times they're not knowing what they're getting in. Because of the limited supply, some of the people in the stores are going to sell you what they have, and it's probably not the gun for you. So I want to encourage you that if you're thinking about buying a gun, give us a call. Take our basic handgun class. Sign up for a private lesson, because the private lesson, in 2 hours, we can take you from a novice to not only competent in the use of the firearm, but also you'll know which gun is right for you because we let you try multiple that we have found to be very useful. And I want to make sure that you steer clear of some of this frenzied buying that results in you getting a gun that isn't necessarily safe or the right gun for you. And we will certainly take take you down that path. And that's one of the things we specialize at Sim Trainer, and we do it on a daily basis. I've expanded the staff that's involved in the actual training, and they're doing a great job. We're probably training 10 to 15 people in private lessons a week, in addition to running 2 to 3 basic handgun class along with our additional training on a regular basis. But I want to encourage you to either stop by the range at 2031 Dryden Road, visit the website at sim-trainer.com, and you can send us an email if you're interested. And the way that I schedule lessons is I base it on the date that you send in your request, and we get you in the queue. We're running about a week behind right now, but we'll get you within a week or two. And with spring break coming up, we're working extra hard to try to get people when they're home and they've got time available, and we'll make sure we get that done. So you can also give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'll be more than glad to get you in to get that private lesson and make sure you get the gun that's right for you. But we're about out of time today, and I want to thank our listeners for calling. There's lots of issues. Pay attention to the issues. Make sure you voice your opinion. Contact your representatives. Join the NRA. Do the things that are going to help promote our cause, and we'll have a lot of success. Again, thanks you for listening. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and 1290 AM News Talk Radio, WHIO.